Hey, welcome to the Bible study. I appreciate you joining us and being here live and live on the internet. And we got a lot of response. I hope everybody's having a beautiful day. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I hate it. I have to cut my grass now, but you know, it was nice when it was winter, but it's always great to see spring. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about the comparison of what people think they're doing today. And I want to do it in a way that will hopefully seem compassionate and yet will give you the wisdom. And I don't know that I will successfully be able to do what I want to do, but I'm going to try my best, and we'll just see what all happens. First, I want you to...
Anybody that liked to text Pastor Hampton, they may do it at 334-669-0920. That is text only, no phone calls. Thank you.
Anyway, going back to this whole discussion, a lot of people don't know what's really going on today.
That's right. And so...
But this is a very unusual Easter in the fact that Passover landed on the same week, which has not happened for years and years and years and years. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 12, and turn to Acts chapter 12 with me, if you will. Now, this is not to throw a damper, but you know, listen, Easter is not about a bunny. Easter is not about a egg. I don't know what bunnies and eggs have in common. But there's a lot of people wearing their pastels and carrying Easter baskets and all that. And to me, I want to have understanding. I want to have wisdom. That's what my desire is. It's not to... have tradition. I don't want tradition. In a lot of cases, traditions led us down the wrong ways. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, is the only time in your King James Bible that it was mentioned Easter. And it's connected with Herod. Now, you can say whatever you want, but Easter connected to Herod has not a lot to do with biblical truth.
Amen.
But he says, and when he had apprehended him, verse 4, and he put him into prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of the soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, it had already been past Passover. But now they're talking about Easter. And Easter is a pagan holiday. That's what it is.
Amen.
But I don't want to attack it in just that sense. I want you to think about Christ being the Passover. Well, we're having microphone problems. Someone stole the clip to the microphone. I leave for 1 week. Everything goes out the door.
One clip.
Everything's gone.
Check your where it connects in.
Yeah, I may not have got it quite right. You usually clip it.
It didn't clip all the way.
It didn't.
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Well, I'm mute while you did that.
This thing's driving me crazy. We'll have to work on this. Anyway, as Christ... equals the Passover. Very important to understand that for Israel. Go, if you will, to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. Let me show you what I'm talking about. John 1, verse 29. Now watch this. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Well, where did they get the concept of the Lamb? Passover in the Old Testament. The Passover is very fascinating. What was the Passover about? All right, that was a question.
Blood.
It was about blood, but what else? They had to put the blood. They would slay a lamb, and they would put the blood on the doorpost. And what would happen? The angel of death would come over, and if he saw the blood, it would pass over. That is, but who was actually saved in the house? Huh?
The firstborn.
The firstborn. Not the whole family was saved. Just the firstborn. Yet when you get over here to Christ as our Passover, again, the blood went on some wood. And... but here, when the blood was passed over here, who was saved?
Everyone.
All. All could be saved. It was uniquely different. Even though this was a foreshadowing, it was only for the firstborn. Christ being the Passover, when He died at the cross, that sacrifice or that blood covered everybody. Now, here's the problem with that. This was not to cover sin. That's not what that did. This, though, did what?
Covered sin.
Covered sin as the sacrifice of an atonement lamb and that of more than just a Passover.
Not sins.
That's right. Not sins. Sin. The idea is there is some unique differences, Christ being the Passover, and those kind of things. When people start to evaluate all these things, they get confused. Why? Because they try to typology everything, and sometimes the types are more than that. Why? What would be the difference between this Passover and this over here? That's right. This never did what? Covered sin. What did they have to do in addition to the Passover for sin? They had to do a blood sacrifice year in and year out. The sacrifices didn't cease year in, year out.
Unleavened bread, bitter herbs.
Well, yeah, but the point that I'm trying to get is the blood.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the Passover meal. I'm just trying to tell you that the reality is that during Passover, it wasn't an atonement for sin. It never atoned. Passover never atoned for sin, and yet it saved the firstborn. The second Passover, which is Christ, did, in fact, God, will the death angel pass over you?
Yes.
Yeah, is there any, hey listen, does death have any sting over us?
No.
Why? Hey, it's covered in blood. But that one it alone saved you. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. Well, I'm going to start in verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the what? Ungodly. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You may want to write a few references of 1 Corinthians 15 in your Bible there, 3 and 4, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 would be well written there. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Very important. Why? That's the gospel. Christ died for us. Everybody, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Not His life, not how He lived it, not His earthly ministry, but how? By His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, watch this, this is the verse. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the what? The atonement. You had a question? Colossians 2, verse 13. All right. So this was not the sacrifice for sin. Y'all understand? This Passover, they act as if, almost as if God had a plan. They had to offer that bullock and that lamb and that scapegoat and on, year in and year out. That's what they had to do. That didn't do it. But when you get on this side of the field, not only is this considered the Passover, but it's also a lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. Y'all understand? It was an all-inclusive event in which one event was going to be common to all men. And yet, I want to talk to you about the atonement a little bit. Remember, when did they find out when this happened? When they put the blood, what happened? At midnight, the angel flew over, and if it didn't hit it, it was what? Instant. Y'all with me? They knew that they were safe. How about this over here? Isn't that instant as well? I mean, you're not growing. I mean, it's almost as some of the Christians think they're growing in grace. It's an instant. I wrote a song, it's a moment in time. Boom. You know, that song was very important to me when I wrote it. Why? Because people almost act as if they're evolving into Christianity. That they're coming into Christianity. Or they're gaining the knowledge of Christianity. Just like it was absolutely 100% known, this is 100% known as well. So there are some similarities and yet some differences. And as we learn those, we start to realize, what was the big deal? Christ died for us. And you know, they acted as if Peter knew that. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How could he know the instant peace prior to the event coming? Would they have known that their firstborn was definitely going to be there in the beginning before the Passover? That it would be only after the fact that they could determine whether their firstborn was... You see what I'm saying? But yet, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they go down through there, they act as if Christians... I'm putting that in a broad blanket, you understand. Think that they can know about the cross and the finished work of Calvary before it ever happened. That is what most churches teach.
Through osmosis, you'll learn how to be a Christian.
It is. It's like a journey. Christianity isn't a journey. It's when was the blood applied. That's what we're getting ready to read in Matthew 16. They didn't have a clue. He tried to tell them. They wouldn't accept it. Yet today, the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is given out to everybody as if they already had knowledge of all this because of the Passover. No way, no how. Look at it, Matthew. Look at Peter's attitude. I mean, what we need to do is be concerned with the truth. Amen? That's it. But I can guarantee you they didn't know, and I'll show you why they didn't know in just a minute. But I want you to think of it as a Passover for a minute. There's no way you could have predetermined the Passover. That night, they were told to keep up a lamb for a few days, make sure it was out without spot and blemish, right? And they were to slay it, but based upon the number, if the house was too small for one lamb, they were to gather their neighbors in and roast that lamb and eat of it and leave nothing and paint the doorpost. But they didn't know until after the event what took place. And the ones that had the blood applied had their firstborn. They were saved. The rest died. They were in judgment. Not for their sins, but because of the obedience of the Passover. And so it is true with the cross. Peter and Jesus are having a conversation in Matthew 16. Look at this. Verse 13. Jesus came onto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter piped up. He didn't pick a pail of purple peppers, but he did pipe up. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonam, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," what rock? The testimony that Jesus is the Christ. Not upon Peter. "And I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Well, what happens? What does the word prevail mean? To hold. Listen to what it's saying. "And the gates of hell shall not hold against it." This church is going where? Okay, a little life under Christ. When I go up on the question, like at the end, like, that's a question. If the gates of hell did not prevail against it, where is this church going?
On earth.
This church is going to hell. They're going to have to be born again from the dead. The gates of hell shall not hold it. Shall not prevail. It's going to be loosed. From where? Who's got the keys of heaven, death, and hell? He's going to loosen the gates, guys. There's people in prison. Read Revelation 2. There's people that he's going to let out of jail that the devil's locked up. These people have to die a martyr's death. You all do know that, right? They can't just get saved like me and you. They're going to die and be, ready, born again from the dead.
But they don't go to hell, do they? I thought
you were in
paradise.
Well, it's right across the way.
No,
but they'll be able to translate even if they were in hell. Who has the keys of death in hell?
Christ
does. Come on down. So he goes on, watch this. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And by the way, that's going to be a big issue when it gets to Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? Because Peter does some binding there. "Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Well, they're not trying to evangelize the world at this point, are they? Listen what it just said. And he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Man, if you wanted to get the word out, don't you think you should be telling them to tell people? They're not trying to get the word out. Now watch. From this time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and said, "Praise the Lord, Jesus. You have just revealed unto us the greatest news we've ever heard." I mean, we preach it as if Peter got it. He just told him that I'm going to... And you know what he said? "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not happen to me." And when they were coming in the garden to get him, Jesus... I love the Passion of Christ. That was so stupid, parts of it. Peter with that little knife. The Bible said he with his sword, he swapped off that priest's ear. And he wasn't swinging for the ear, my friends. He was swinging for the neck. And as that sword came, it clipped his ear. You understand? He was about to chop the man's head off. He wasn't going. Wasn't that kind of stuff. He had that double-edged sword and he was swinging with all of his might, and that guy leant down and took off his ear. He was aiming for the man's neck. People don't get it. They play games with this book. Peter said, begins to rebuke the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee, this shall not happen unto thee." And then Jesus turns and says unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." Peter doesn't get the point. He's clueless. People act like they taught the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have a clue what the gospel was. Just like the Passover. When were they told to do the Passover? Months and months ahead of time?
No,
the day before. Tonight you're going to take a lamb, you're going to put it up, and you're going to paint that 10 days, or you're going to put it in 10 days, and 14 days you can paint it on the doorpost. So about 3 to 4 days is all they knew. That was going to happen. Peter had no clue that that cross was going to happen. "Be it far from thee, Lord." And the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, it's fascinating to me, isn't it to you? And people say, "Well, what do you mean rightly dividing the word of truth?" Well, don't you understand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were preaching a gospel? It just wasn't the gospel of the sacrificial Lamb of God. It was the gospel of the kingdom. What was the good news about the kingdom? The king was there. Y'all understand? It had nothing to do with the gospel of the grace of God. It had nothing to do with the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins. It had nothing to do with that. God. They didn't know that gospel. So, well, how do you know that? Well, look here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How do I know that? Well, let's try the scriptures. How about that? Wouldn't that be fun? First Corinthians chapter 2. I want to start in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. How are you guys? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what?"
Mystery.
Hold on to here. Go back to Romans 16. Hold on to here. 25. Now watch this. It's just a page. Romans 16, 25. Now watch what it says here. "Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel," whose gospel?
Paul's.
Can you give me some references? Romans 2 verse 16 should definitely be there. Amen?
2 Timothy 2:7-8.
Romans 16:25.
Those three are the only times that it's mentioned my gospel. Now, according, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the what? Mystery. You should have 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 marked right there. We're going to turn back. Which was kept secret since the world began. So I'm going to put Paul getting saved over here in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to go all the way back to the Old Testament, and it said it had been what?
Kept secret.
Secret. All right, now let's try this along with the Passover and the understanding thereof. Okay? Did they know prior to the Passover what was going to happen?
No.
Well, I'm telling you, they didn't know what was happening prior to the cross either. Y'all understand? They didn't understand it. But God had chosen a man to let him have full understanding of it from Acts chapter 9, and it's the Apostle Paul, whose name was originally what?
Saul.
And according to him, he kept this thing secret. Now why? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we were reading. Now watch. Just like they didn't understand the Passover at the beginning, after the Passover, they understood it. Amen? They knew who was saved and who wasn't, right? They knew the firstborn was either still there. What happened to Egypt's, Pharaoh's first son? He died. They knew. See, the knowledge was after the event. Y'all understand? The same thing was true with the cross. God had wisdom. Look what he said. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what?
Mystery.
I would have Romans 16:25 marked in my Bible right there for sure. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, well, we know that's the same one, right? Unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, that is Satan and his angel. Who's the prince and the power of the air?
Satan.
Where would we find that verse? He's the prince and the power of the air. 2 Timothy. Second Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this world. Where does it say he's the prince and the power of the air? Ephesians chapter 2:4. Okay, well, I think it's 3 and 4.
Ephesians 2 and 4?
Yeah, Ephesians 2, verse 3 and 4. Well, watch, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it. What's the it? It's the mystery of verse 7. You see that? For had they known it, the what? The mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. All right? So had they known that Jesus Christ was going to not only be over the Passover the Lamb, but he was going to die for the sins of the world, if he'd have let that information out any time prior to that, what would have happened?
They would not have crucified
him. Y'all understand? There's no way that they would have crucified Jesus. If Satan had known, listen to me very carefully. Had Satan known that Jesus was going to die for your sins, and he put it on that cross, you know what they would have done? Satan would have called the paramedics and started giving him CPR right then to keep him from dying. So God kept it a mystery. And just like after the Passover, they figured it out. After the cross, they figured it out through who? Through your apostle Paul. Peter didn't know. Peter would have never taught you that your sins are forgiven. How do I know that? Well, we can look after the cross and see what Peter really thought. He still didn't have it. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 3. See, most people have no clue what's going on in this Bible. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
And they go to churches that they have a good feeling, and it's great. Praise God. I hope you have a good feeling here too. I hope the congregation is friendly. But this isn't about friendliness to me. It's about the truth of the Word of God. That's what it's about. Now, Repent ye therefore, verse 19, Acts 3:19, watch this. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins are blotted out.
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
Well, why, how could that be the same gospel that Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 2? Look in Colossians, hold the ear and go to Colossians chapter 2. See, I want you to understand that just as the Passover, they had no clue what was going to happen until after. When they saw the firstborn still there, guess what they thought? Hallelujah. When after the cross, Paul gets to preaching about the cross. You know what he says? Hallelujah. But Peter didn't understand it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you," what?
All.
Maybe going to forgive you?
All.
"Hath already forgiven you all trespasses." You see, already done. Not the same attitude that Peter had. Look in Acts 3, verse 19 again. "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." When? "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know what verses I would have there? Zechariah 13, verse 1. See, even the Passover doesn't make sense for us Gentiles. Amen? Did anybody here ever commit a blood sacrifice?
No.
We didn't even understand that. And yet, our sins are now atoned for.
Amen.
Didn't come through the law. Came through the portal of grace. Came through God's graciousness to you. I mean, we wouldn't have even understood the Passover. I could teach on the Passover, and you would have to learn the Passover. You think a Jewish boy would have to learn the Passover?
No.
He would do it every year, year in, year out. He'd be an expert by his time. He's our age. Right? He'd be an expert.
So how come they're still doing it?
Because they don't know how to rightly divide.
They don't know how to rightly divide.
And the problem is, they don't do it correctly anymore either.
No, they don't either.
They have a veil over their eyes.
They do have a veil. And you know, guys, listen, all of this is why you have to rightly divide. Until you get to Paul, you don't understand the reason for the cross. Why would Peter say, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out"? When? "When the times are refreshed." He's thinking of the second coming. Zechariah 13. "At that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness," Zechariah 13 says. You see, the cross had a mystery involved in it. And had they known that mystery, they would not have crucified him. And so God kept it a secret. Did Peter know he was going to die? Yeah, he did. Did Peter know he was going to deny him three times?
No.
He was told that, but he didn't believe it, did he?
No.
He denied him. Listen, all I'm trying to tell you is Peter was told time and time he didn't understand. For had they got it, they would never have what?
Crucified.
I mean, guys, it isn't like a Passover lamb in which the firstborn is going to be saved. What Jesus Christ did had a mystery in that cross that people didn't understand. And you can't even understand it in the King James Bible until you get to Paul's epistles. You don't have a clue. Would you ask these kind of questions? Look in Acts chapter 1. Last question you get to ask the Lord. What, if all you had a chance to talk to the Lord before he ascends up. Would you ask this? Would this be the question you'd ask? To Israel. Huh? Would that be the question you'd ask? Wouldn't be the question I'd ask. Lord, when are you coming back for the church? When's the rapture? I wouldn't be worried about a kingdom. Why is Peter, after the cross, still concerned with a kingdom? Well, the king was leaving, though. They knew he was leaving. They want to know when the king was coming back to set this all up. Why? They had spent the first 3.5 years building on an idea of a what? Kingdom. It isn't until you get to Paul that you talk about the church. Isn't that weird? And exactly. Isn't that just a little bit weird? And so churches today are trying to mix the Passover. You realize that you could be mixing the Passover today and still miss the mystery? Say, well, he died and was buried and then he rose. He arose! He arose! I mean, they're singing it out. And yet they may not even know the mystery of what transpired in that cross. You all understand? Just like Peter understood. Peter knew the death, burial, and resurrection, didn't he?
Amen.
I mean, that's what Acts chapter 2 preaching is all about. You by wicked hand have taken and crucified and slain. Who his sepulcher, he talks about David, but not our Savior. He's not in there anymore. What are they preaching? He's risen. But they didn't understand the gospel. So how many churches could be preaching the Passover this morning and missing the whole point of the cross? A lot of them. Because until you understand that it wasn't revealed to, until it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul, there is no way you could get that message out of that Bible. That's fascinating to me. So it's not a threat to have bunches of churches do Passover, is it? Worshipping Easter? It's benign, isn't it? Has no effect on it. Because that's not what the Passover is not the power of the cross. It's the preaching of the cross that is the power of God on the salvation. You see, it's the preaching that Paul brought in about the cross, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that he rose again. If you leave that part out about dying for your sins, you're under that guilty burden for your life, and you can be going to church until hell freezes over. Which, by the way, doesn't. You all understand? No way! You could go and listen to the death, burial, and resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. You could attend all the Easter services and still be lost. Because without the mystery that was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul, you have no salvation to anyone in this room. Period. So the celebrations are almost in vain. Say, well, what happened if you shot your grandmother and killed her? Would you go to heaven or hell? What do you think most people answer?
Hell.
If you were to commit adultery and rape this girl and then murdered her, where would you go? Hell. That's what they'd say. But you know what? In the dispensation of grace, that isn't true. Anybody, listen to me, anywhere that wants to be saved, it isn't like this Passover where it was the firstborn. Paul tells you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, why would you call upon him if you don't know what he did for you? What would be the point of you calling? You've got to have a reason. And so Paul was given the instruction by Jesus Christ himself.